evening. We'll be starting here in just a few moments. Welcome to the call this evening. I hope everybody's ready to participate. Got some interesting things to discuss this evening, so I'm looking forward to being with you. Well, it's 7 o'clock on the dot here in the Mountain West, and let's get started with Tuesday evening's call. Last week we had an opportunity to discuss a concept which is, for some, a new view of how to create. We have been told for so long that the way to create is to go into the future and visualize something and have it and do it with such intention that the universe will line up and somehow magically manifest that wish into physical reality. People who practice that belief, for the most part, unless there's other elements that are implemented, generally find themselves increasingly broken, and angry. Frustrated, why isn't it working for me? And so the natural tendency is to follow the same process, but with more intention, believing there must be something wrong with me. Because if there weren't something wrong with me, this would be working. And so you hear some additional conversation going on about, well, it's about worthiness. If you felt more worthy and said to this power that governs abundance, I'm worthy, I'm ready to receive my part, and you could actually believe that you're worthy, somehow it would be granted to us in physical, tangible reality. And so in the absence of it happening, we can become increasingly self-deprecating to a point that we don't only question our ability, we actually start to question our own worth. We start to feel shame for our circumstances. As I have mentioned to you before, the difference between shame and blame. We have a wonderful coach, Rob Peters, a licensed clinical social worker, and he was sharing with me, helping just to get really clear on this issue. And it's so wonderful to know that blame is when we have done something wrong and we feel bad about what we've done. Shame is when we feel bad about ourselves. We're what's wrong. Not our actions. Actually ourselves. So we look at this process and we see us getting deeper and deeper and deeper into this frustration. Why isn't this working for me? Well, part of it really boils down to the fact that many, many great teachers, and I'd like to be one of those, if I may, for a moment, we did not know something. Our research over the last 7 years has helped us discover something that has not been known. We know that now 97% of those actively pursuing abundance, success in their life, aggressively pursuing this, have those two thought processes in common. We've talked about these. These two thought processes that cause us to obsessively think about thinking and do so very vividly. We also know that 98% of those who have these two thought processes in common also use them destructively. We escape to a time in the future when we're going to be rich and what it'll be like then. Now, I talk about this frequently because this is the single greatest enemy to the creation of success. Fantasy. Escaping everything from where we are to that time in the future and then attempting to prematurely live in that space in our mind. The drugs that are released, norepinephrine, make us feel so euphoric. The drugs that are released when reality continues to show up differently are devastating. They cause challenges with our immune system, adrenal fatigue, exacerbation of diabetes, hypertension. The list just goes on. It's just harmful to our bodies. We actually are destroying our bodies when these chemicals are released in our body. We feel awful, too. So we have this challenge. What was not known, I want to clearly explain before we go any deeper tonight. What was not known was that only 2% or less instinctually use their mind constructively. Only 2%. The 2% are typically in positions of leadership. They generally are experiencing great success in their lives. And they want so much for others to have that experience. And they know at the core is this visualization of possibilities. I mentioned last week, Jack Canfield, being able to get that million-dollar idea while he's in the shower. They know that when they get that inspired idea, impression, or solution to problem, that it ignites their passion, and that passion drives their focus and discipline and effort and action, what they do is not work. It is not boring. It is not mundane. It is not repetitious. It is passion-driven action, a willingness to suffer for something we love, something we have seen so clearly. Well, when those two don't realize, that 2% or less don't realize that 98% are using it destructively, the assumption is this. Because the 98% are not succeeding, they must not be visualizing. There is nothing farther from the truth. The 98% are master visualizers. They've just been using this tremendous gift to vividly visualize in escape and avoid fantasy. And when the 2% say, I need to teach you visualization, please create a dream board. Go into the future and see the possibilities. They didn't realize that 98% of those they were talking to were seeing it as a validation of the very thing that has been killing their business and their relationships. Fantasy. That is a key issue. I shared last Tuesday, that fantasy can be anything that's in the future, and then living beyond it. And I used the example last week of someone who is in direct sales, or someone who has a meeting, like on Thursday night or something, or next Tuesday night, or on Saturday, and they have invited people to come to that meeting, and their mind has already said, well, I've invited 10 people, 10 people are coming, and we skip from now until the meeting, and we begin to think about what happens when those 10 people show up, and they buy, or they enroll, or they whatever they do, and all the stuff that's going to happen as a result. We skip the very time when we can create the outcome. And I walked through a process with you last week of how we can focus right now, because no one is going to be coming to the meeting except for those who show up. And those
who
show up...
And you're in all the time. You hear me?
Hello? I can hear you. Oh. Hello?
Still there?
Hello? Hello, can you hear me? Are you attempting to participate? Hello?
Hi, this is Cindy Verdon.
Hi.
Hi, did I enter the wrong access number?
No, are you joining the Intentional Creation Augmandino coaching call?
Absolutely.
You're here. Congratulations.
Okay, sorry about that. I muted myself right away, so that's why I didn't
respond. Oh, not a problem. Go ahead and do that again, okay. And anytime you want to participate, I'm going to invite participation in just a moment. I'm just reviewing what we discussed last week about creating in the millimeters between here and an event, where we focus on what we can do today to build a bridge to the person we've invited to a meeting, for an example, using that as an example. I used the phrase last Tuesday that we're nothing more than a pimple in the life of the person who we've invited to that event. We may have had a 10 or 20 minute conversation with them. Now, I'm going to go ahead and put this on mute, but anybody who wants to talk will be able to just press *6 and we're just going to go into participation mode. Just a moment. Very good. Thank you. So if you'd like to participate, just press *6. We have so many people on the call tonight that it's creating some background noise for mobile phones, etc. We want this recording to be really, really clear for those who may not be able to attend it live this evening. So I mentioned last week that we're no more than a pimple in the life of this person we've invited to a meeting, how do we become more than that? Because if we focus on becoming more than that, the likelihood of them actually showing up increases dramatically. And I gave you several ideas of emails that could be sent, phone calls, things you might be thinking about to help create that. And I said, this is a correlation. This is a direct correlation to almost anything in our life. We're in the process right now of creating one of the most sophisticated, complex websites. Complex so that it's very easy to use. It's for Augmandino's New Life Support, which is for supporting and deepening the journey of recovery. We want people to be able to come and have this amazing experience and have it not be very complicated and yet be so content-rich with such powerful tools to impact the lives of people. Oh, my goodness. It has just really been exciting to see all of these moving parts and pieces and having them all come together. Now, I could be focusing on what it's going to be like around May 24th to the 31st when this is released to the world. And all the wonderful people are going to come and sign up, and we're going to start blessing all these lives, and then we're going to go to the AA convention in San Antonio on the 1st of July and meet 75,000 people and get all caught up in all that. But no, right now, we are absolutely in intentional creation on the millimeters, the design, the sending over to the company that's making the commemorative coins, of having them stamp one, of measuring them, of weighing them, of having the brushed bronze put on them, each millimeter of that process. We have a person managing each one of those and doing so well and filling me in on that moving part. Then there's another moving part over here of getting a license on a piece of music that we're very interested in having as a theme song. Wonderful piece of music. Just moves my soul. And working through all the communications to work that through the process. Then working through, just I could, there's just hundreds and hundreds of moving pieces. It is like that with everyone's life. And I ask myself today, what happens if this is not managed? Are there things that show up when we're in creation that we are either afraid to do, feel inadequate doing, or frankly don't want to do? And the answer is every minute of every day. But what happens if we don't do that? What happens if we put it off for another day? Who is going to build it? Almost everybody on this phone has a business of some kind. What are you doing to build your business? Almost everyone on this phone is in some kind of a relationship. What are we doing to build the relationship? It is really a moment of truth for us to step back and be wildly accountable. What fear are we facing? What procrastination are we experiencing? What kind of overwhelm? Is there fear that we'll run out of money before we get something completed, we get our business built? Anybody in that space? We're afraid that maybe our companion or mate may not go along with or participate or come and put 100% into what we're willing to put 100% into. What are we dealing with? I want each one of us for just a moment to step back from today. Pull out a piece of paper and a pen. Just have it handy. And say, what was it that I was facing today that I didn't want to have to face? What was it? What was it that we waited for another day to do? What was it that we wanted to avoid because it was painful? What was it that we avoided because it was fearful? We were afraid. Just make a quick note. Just write it down. This is a self-honesty moment. I was doing this last hour, writing them down. I've got my list right here. What was it? Now reflect on this last week after our conversation last Tuesday. We stand right here in the present. Anything 2 hours from now, 3 days from now, 2 weeks from now, or 10 years from now, all of it's in the future. Anytime we go into the future and start assigning an outcome without focusing on what we can do between here and there is fantasy. I would like to invite a few people to come on the call tonight. I got some conversations from some after our last Tuesday night call. It was, wow, I've been focusing in the wrong place. Did anybody have an experience this week, or anybody willing to share an experience they had this week, of staying present in the now, working on the next millimeter in bringing something into tangible reality? If you will, just press *6 on your phone, come off of mute, and share with us what happened, if you would, please. If your heart is pounding, this moment's for you. Let's serve everyone on the call tonight.
Good evening, Dave. This is Fernando.
Hi, Fernando.
How are you doing, Dave?
Welcome from Texas.
Thank you very much. Well, I wanted to share with you, I've been coaching with Bill Rauer, and he is just absolutely phenomenal. And we've been coaching on Monday mornings and focusing on a couple of things. And as you well know, I've been working with you for a few years as well. I had an experience over the last week or so that was in alignment with what we're talking about. But I had an experience where in my business, I work with a lot of investors, as other people do in business as well. And I got to meet with some people that had access to a lot of funding, and they are looking to take advantage of tax benefits for green energy companies at the moment. And of course, when I was speaking with these presenters, of course, I'm not in that business. So I thought, I'm going to definitely keep this in mind and see if maybe I can apply this to my business in real estate and so on. Well, not a week later, I was speaking with a good friend of mine in Oklahoma who happens to own a plastics recycling company. And he calls me and says, hey, I've got this idea for this great company. I've put together a business plan for a company that can basically take waste that currently gets dumped into landfills, and we can process this and turn it into biofuel and methane gas and diesel and all these different energies that we can turn this into. Would you be interested in exploring this project with me? And then I said, well, absolutely. It just so happens that I met with some investors this past week that have a really hot button, or I should say a really, some excitement to put some funding into projects like these. So without hesitation, I hopped in the car, drove up to Oklahoma, and it's kind of funny because I kept watching the doors. I kept listening and looking for the doors to kind of open up, and I just kept going through those doors. Well, we get up to Oklahoma. We meet with him and drove right into a meeting. The presentation went great. We drove over and actually had the president of the bank himself drive over to a piece of property. It was 5 acres on a property that was a foreclosure, which we could get an extremely good deal on. And then it so happens that he was friends with a county commissioner that said, by the way, since you're doing an energy company, we'll be willing to throw in an additional 25 acres of land for $1 an acre if you can create 10 job positions with this company. So since then, we've now gotten back. We've now gotten the process started of getting this funding going with our new investors, and now we're just going through the process to see, to make sure that everything goes okay. So this is all just from one idea, from one thought and one meeting, and being open to looking at all those doors.
What a great example. Would you work with me for just a moment, Fernando?
I'd be happy to.
Because quite often, especially in your industry, with all of the opportunities that are available, we can have opportunities show up. And then all of a sudden we get sidetracked because we start dreaming about the millions that are going to be created instead of focusing on the next millimeter. I love the way you've described this. Millimeter, millimeter, millimeter door, millimeter, millimeter, millimeter. And now you have the option of picking up 20 acres at $1 an acre, a foreclosed piece of property, President Bank behind you. You've got a great opportunity. You've got investors who, it's interesting when you've got the investors before you have the opportunity. That's fascinating. You're working with a great coach in Bill Rauer, just an amazing human being. What could you do in terms of the millimeters between here and actually having this place functioning? Can you just sit with me just for a moment with those listening and go, okay, what is the very next millimeter of this project? The thing that you're going to do first thing in the morning to move it one step closer.
Well, actually right now we are working on getting all the small details as far as all the numbers together. We are, and also, you know, I'm working on getting the numbers together to make sure they make sense, and my partner is currently working on some of the contracts necessary to get some of this moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there ever any temptation? I want you to smile when I ask you this question. Maybe more in the past than in the present. To be lying in bed at night, and instead of focusing on how could I put these numbers together in a way that makes sense, and seeking inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems, having a good idea of what these investors may want, and even anticipating additional things that may not be in a normal business plan, how big of a temptation has it been in the past to drift off into the big houses and big cars and Lear jets part of this kind of a project?
Well, I'll tell you, Dave, I've been working with you for a few years now, and I'll tell you what, it was absolutely a temptation. It's to do that initially. I mean, it is, you know, it can be easy to think about the numbers, especially once I saw the initial spreadsheets on the profit potentials of this. That's definitely a potential reality. However, I definitely, you know, I've definitely learned my lesson. You know the business I'm in.
Yes.
I've definitely learned my lesson by not doing that. I've been in those situations where, you know, just like you mentioned on that scenario, I've got 10 people coming this week, and boy, if every one of them jumps on board, boy, that's going to make me a six-figure month, and, you know, you've already bought the Lamborghini and the whole thing, and then come Thursday, nobody shows up.
Yeah. This is a pretty big example of that Thursday afternoon or Thursday evening example, isn't it? Because you've got, man, we get the 20 acres, we got the five, we got the investors coming in, we got the contracts signed, we got this coming out, and it generates this, because that spreadsheet, it can turn into visualization so easily. And we want to be able to go visualize to anticipate what might be needed. Because your ability to visualize, Fernando, will take you to that factory functioning, not for the purpose of how much money's coming out the back door in profit to be spent, but to be able to see it so vividly. You're gonna be, based on your experience and your very experience in this area, you're gonna see problems that other people may never anticipate because they've already gone to the profit being spent instead of focusing on what needs to be done between here and there. It is so exciting. And I gotta believe, Fernando, that these kinds of opportunities also start to open up when that power that governs abundance, I like to call it God, can trust us to stay focused on the millimeters.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah,
it's interesting because Bill and I talked about that, and it's interesting how some people believe this is just happens to be good luck or luck, you know, has anything to do with it. But I say, boy, that sure would be a lot of coincidences for all these things to come in place and have it all be called luck. That's not how it works.
Well, I think it would be very interesting for you to pause for a moment and go back and study the history of how you met the investors and the relationships that made that possible, and your friend in Oklahoma City and how your relationships made that possible, and how many years this thing has been in development to allow all of these marvelous things to be placed in their proper place so quickly. Isn't that interesting? This is a life of preparation. And I can promise you that the more prepared you are, and the more you focus on the millimeters, and the more you focus on things that will bless people, such as green energy, the more you're going to experience things like this. Wouldn't this be a wonderful way to live?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because the people I know that are wildly abundant, this is what happens. This is how they live. They develop relationships with people. They have served without any attachments. They are trusted by the people they're with. People come into their path and meet them. All of the pieces start coming together. And you look back and say, that was a miracle. And you say, yeah, it was a miracle. It was like a miracle of emptying the Red Sea one bucket at a time. What a marvelous thing to experience. Congratulations. Would you keep us informed on what happens with this project?
I would be happy to.
Yeah. And should you ever be tempted, you'll always know that you're violating the law when you start to spend the money in your mind. That's the instant you know you're violating the law. You cross the line. And when you cross the line, you will find things fall apart. You'll find it slow down. You'll feel it starting to slow down. You'll feel like you're pushing a rope or a wet noodle. You'll go, wow. And you get to be just a little repentant in that you assess it, be honest about it, step back from it, and go refocus on how you're going to serve the people, bless their lives, and do the hard things to make this possible. And then the day actually can come when it will generate money and profit, and the profit will be the natural outcome of everything you've done. What a beautiful thing. Well, congratulations.
Thank you,
and thank you for sharing that. And I want to mention this for some other people on the phone. Aug says something on in scroll 10 that is so important, because this is a big deal. But Fernando, you play in a big arena. You do a lot of these kinds of things and have been working your way up to them. You're not violating the next law, which is critical. And this is a law mentioned in the scroll, I Will Act Now, when Aug says, only action determines my value in the marketplace. You got in the car and drove up there. I mean, you took the action. You watched this thing. You went and met with the bank. You're doing the financials. You're doing the steps that it takes. And to multiply my value, I must multiply my actions. I will walk where the failure fears to walk. The other clue for anyone on the phone when they're dealing with something big like this, one, we start spending the money in our mind, and two, we start glossing over some of the difficult steps. He says, I will walk where the failure fears to walk. I will work when the failure seeks rest. I will talk when the failure remains silent. So when you get into one of these deals on somebody, I need to talk to this person, I feel uncomfortable, I'll talk to him next time I'm up here. You just went and saw the banker and talked to him. Boom, he knows somebody. He talks to them. Pretty soon you've got some redevelopment land thrown into the deal for a dollar an acre because you actually talked when the failure would remain silent. Then he says this, I will call on 10 who can buy my goods while the failure makes grand plans to call on one. I will say that it is done before the failure says it is too late. One of the great risks is we get grandiose. Now, you've got a guy with a technology. You've got an investor, a real one, sounds like, with interested in green energy. You've got a city and a banker, and you've got real pieces. Quite often we get into grandiose things, and I remember, particularly in the business that you're in, Fernando, you and I have had some smiles about this, where someone first gets into the real estate business, and they're trying to put together a $2 billion hotel deal, and they've never bought a piece of real estate. You've experienced that before. You've seen that.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. For those who are listening, Fernando's been at this for how many years now?
Going on 3 years now.
Going on 3 years. Nose to the grindstone. Work, 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 work. Turning revenue, buying properties. This would be a next natural step. This isn't going to be a big stretch for him. This is going to be next natural stretch. So when you hear this kind of a deal, don't go, man, I want to go find out how to build a factory and get green investors, and you know, I'm going to jump into that right away and ignore making money to keep myself alive so that I can spend and invest time in those kinds of projects. I can tell you Fernando's going to take care of his knitting, which means the basic necessities of life. Thank you for sharing. Wonderful story and great example.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome. And have fun with Built. Wow. Anyone else who would like to share?
Dave.
Yes?
Sebastian from Manitoba.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, yourself?
Doing really well. Please share. Now, I did not hear your first name, so I must ask one more time.
Yeah, it's Sebastian.
Sebastian, thank you, Sebastian.
Okay, so what I want to share with you tonight is I've been on a remote location for 1 year. Now.
Yes.
I've been out of my province, so it's a little community of 1,200 people, and I've been experiencing some difficulty to connect to people because of difference of culture, language barrier at the beginning. So my millimeter each day that I have to do is when I go to work, I have to listen to people instead of trying to be by having trouble to connect with people, I have not many friends actually, so not many people to be able to talk to people that will listen to me. So I've been frustrated about that the first couple of months I've been here. But I found by working with my coach that the way to be able to connect with them, actually, it's just to listen to them. And even when they say, when we have a conversation together, most of the time it's not really a conversation because they talk, and I listen. And by being different from them, being different from my way of life or the way that I eat, my activities, I've tried in the past to just talk to my stuff, but they just don't listen to me, and they just continue to say their stuff. So it's kind of pretty hard to go each day and to just listen to people and don't be able to express yourself with your beliefs, your values. But after I've been doing that for 2 months, intensively, the last 2 months, I had a result. And this result was, it was my birthday last week, and I mentioned to a couple of my colleagues that it was my birthday. I mentioned them on Monday that Thursday was my birthday, and they acknowledged that very especially for me. One bought a cake for me. The admin rep just print out some ads to wish me happy birthday, and another one sent an email to all the building to wish me happy birthday. And so after that, there was a domino effect to everybody replied to. So I felt like with my friends and family, and without going around the building and just say to everybody, hey, it's my birthday today, hey, it's my birthday today. I just wanted to say it because I think in my heart, I really needed that somebody would tell me that. Just tell me that it's my birthday, and instead of having my birthday alone here. So it wasn't the case. I'm pretty happy with that, and I realize that it's all those little meters to listen to them.
Yes.
That just acknowledge that they respect me and they like to have me around.
Well, Sebastian, I've just been listening to you.
Thank you.
Happy birthday last Thursday. How old were you?
32.
32.
Yes.
Now, what do you do up there?
I'm working as an engineer for Manitoba Hydro here in the north. Yes, and I came here. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just thank you.
I came here to increase my English skills and to live a new experience. But I found that I didn't think that at that time it would have been so difficult to connect with people and to be to live this cultural shift that which is pretty steep for me. But in the same time, I'm learning. I just have to find some tools to be able to stay here and to connect with people. And by doing that, I'm learning and I'm growing a lot. Even if it's tough, it's pretty tough, but it's pretty effective also.
Yes. Are there a lot of First Nation people where you are?
Yes, they are, but it's kind of funny because I don't really have problem to connect with them. It's more with people like me.
Yes.
That I'm having trouble to connect with them.
In the past, what has your experience been with engineers in general in terms of their conversation skills?
That's a good question. My experience with them was more like intellectual conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily to connect with them. It was more like in a business or technical point of view.
Yeah.
But if I just have some exceptions, which were my close friends, they were engineers also. So mm-hmm. sometimes we had a chance to have more deeper conversation about life and philosophy and family and friends and etc.
You have good English.
Thank you.
It's very articulate. I know you feel just a little stilted as you're speaking. You can feel trying to make that translation in your mind, but it's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear. I want you to know that.
Thank you.
May I share with you something?
Sure.
I love the thought that you stepped into their world and you've been listening. I wonder how many other people have had a birthday who did not get the response you got.
That's a good question, and people here are afraid to say that it's their birthday. They don't want to be acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, and I brought this idea at the department meeting to do a list. Like a list with every people's birthday on this list, so when mm-hmm. the birthday is coming, you can acknowledge it. All the building can acknowledge it, but they refuse to do that. They were not comfortable to be acknowledged. So that's a thing that I'm. It's difficult for me because I like to celebrate. I like to celebrate for people. I like to celebrate, period. But here it's more like conservative and. They don't want to be rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting harder to to connect with them.
I've got a challenge for you, if you're up for it.
Okay, go ahead.
You came here, as you shared, to become better at your English, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're 32, you're quite young. Why has everyone else come up there? challenge.
Yeah.
To find out why.
Yeah.
When you can step into that space and just be available to listen, what brought you up here? What's going on at home for you? And then just listen. And wait for someone's walls to come down. Create that safe place for them. And see what starts to happen when someone cares enough to find out why they would go so far from home in such a remote place. Do they love the First Nation people? Do they love the climate? Do they love their work? Or are they trying to get away from something? What could it be? You may develop some very deep, wonderful friendships if you're willing to be a safe place for someone who is harboring frustration or concern or fear, and you become a safe place for that conversation. Be careful not to pry, because this isn't about diving into their personal life.
Yeah.
It's just about knowing that the wall comes down when someone feels safe. And when they're not talking, it's not about you. They're not feeling safe. It's not anything to do with you, but you could have everything to do with them feeling safe. There's a mission to make as many people feel as safe as they can and create something that perhaps they did not have where they came from. Yeah, what a beautiful thought. And the one who listens best has the most friends. Hmm. Who is your coach?
Gail Ramsey.
Oh, you gave me a chill down my spine. Have you talked to Gail about her work out on the oil rigs?
Yes, she shared with me some challenges that she had, and it's pretty similar to mine that I have here.
Chase is on the line, and I just, every time I hear these stories, I want to reach through the phone and give him a hug. I'm at my home office tonight. He's just been so brilliant in putting people with the right coaches. Gail is an amazing human being. Who would tell you that there was a time when she was very quiet? No more. Let her work with you on this topic. Really step in and say, Gail, help me understand where you've been. Share with me the journey you've taken. What worked for you? And let her share it with you, because she can.
Yes, we've already begun to work on this topic.
Oh.
And she has helped me a lot, and we're still working hard on this. So that's
yeah. Now, when you come back next Tuesday and the Tuesday after, would you please, Sebastian, come back on the call with us and share with us any breakthroughs you have as you're listening and creating these safe places?
I will.
Because you're in a remote place. The truth of the matter is, and why you served so well tonight, Sebastian, is because there are a number of people on this phone who live in heavily populated areas who live as remotely.
Yeah.
Just as remotely. It's not the number of people. It's the quality with which we focus on the value of a human being and listen. One or 10,000, it doesn't matter. Congratulations for working through this. You're going to have some great stories to tell.
Thanks.
And I sense some real lasting friendships that you'll have for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Should you choose to do this. Anything else that you want to share with us?
No, just to thank you to letting me the opportunity to talk tonight. I have tried to talk in the previous night like that, but I wasn't. I was maybe afraid of, or just too stress to commit myself just to plunge ahead. And we had our coaching session, Gail and me, 3 hours ago, and each time Gail just proposed me to talk and just give me some motivation talk to try it. And I'm really glad that I did it, and I felt very comfortable to do it tonight with this environment that you have created. So thank you very much. I feel much better just by having shared that with you guys.
Thank you. And again, happy birthday.
Thank you.
That's great. 32 is my favorite year. Have you always wanted to be 32, Sebastian? Mm-hmm. 32 is like the perfect age.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing. This has been so helpful, Fernando and Sebastian, as we're taking on these fears and these anxieties and beginning these little processes. And Sebastian, you courageously come on the line to demonstrate to all of us that this isn't such a scary place. And when we start talking, we discover what Og said when he said, my procrastination, which has held me back, was born of fear. Remember I said this last week, we talk about, I've learned that lesson, mind from the hearts of all courageous souls. If we got inside of Sebastian's heart, we would have found that there was some anxiety about talking tonight, and he acted without hesitation, and the flutters in his heart vanished. And now he knows that that lion of terror, he can't talk, has been turned into an ant of equanimity, peace of mind. And now, Sebastian, you can take that back to the workplace with even greater confidence and just show up the same way you did in our conversation tonight, peaceful, calm, concerned, thoughtful. Wow. So unlike an engineer. No, I'm just kidding. I've got a son that's an engineer. Just teasing. Well, thanks, everyone. I want to share with everyone just a couple of principles tonight in terms of finding joy in the journey. But I do not want to rob anyone. If there's someone out, Fernando said he's been thinking about doing this for a couple of weeks and just didn't quite do it. Is there anyone else who wants to act without hesitation and let the flutters in their heart vanish? This is your moment. Okay, well, should you change your mind, just press *6 and jump on and say, Dave, 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 I've changed my mind.
Dave, 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 I've changed my mind. This is Martina Ozier.
Hi, Martina.
Hi. I was listening to Sebastian. By the way, my heart's going bump, bump, bump. I thought, you know, it doesn't, the very point that you brought out that many of us feel like a foreigner anyway, even if we're in this country. And I just have to give you a little background. I was a hairdresser for years, about over 40 years, and I used to listen all day long, and I had a wonderful career. People gave me lots of gifts, and toward the end of my career, in hairdressing, I started trying to fix people, and my health started failing me, and now I'm in a spot where I feel like I've come to this for a reason, because my relationships with my family have, I'm just finding myself in a different spot, and I want to connect with my family. And so anyway, here I am. And I found that I'm beginning to do that, starting with my husband. And my children, a couple of my children, and not that I haven't had good relationships with them, but I can see that I haven't connected with them the last few years. So, anyway, I'm just wondering what kind of questions can I ask them that will get me to start listening again.
Oh, this is wonderful. And you, if I remember correctly, Martina, you have Grant Todd as a coach. Is that correct?
Oh, I do. And I love Grant. He is wonderful.
I was on the phone with Grant tonight. He's going to be working with one of our speakers down in Arizona this week. And yeah, you're just very fortunate to have Grant. He's just a sweetheart of a guy. You're going to be going through this process in a few weeks, but you mentioned that you started to try to fix people.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do that with your husband?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. For some reason, I jumped on that bandwagon, and I don't know how to get off.
Well, I'm going to give you an exercise that comes out of order, or excuse me, structure and discipline, which is quality number 4.
Okay.
Because this particular series of thought processes, if you want to look on your assessment, it would be the 9th measurement on the left-hand side called analytical.
Okay.
It'd also be the 3rd measurement that's called disciplined. And then one that's called teachable, which should be the 7th measurement down. I'm just visualizing this in my mind. And see if any of those are out of balance.
Now, which was the third one?
Third one was disciplined. And then teachable, which would be the 7th measurement down. These are on the left-hand side of your graph.
Okay.
And then the 9th one down, analytical. So anybody's on the phone, you might take a look at these on your assessment. If you've got it where you can see it tonight, if not, look at it after the call. Disciplined, teachable, analytical. These thought processes are called systemic thoughts. That means they're just thinking about thinking. They're things that exist only in our mind. They're very unique, Martina, because they process what's called dualistically, all, nothing, right, wrong, win, lose, black, white. So here you are, a hairdresser, you're working on somebody, and they're sharing something with you, and you've heard it all. I mean, you've heard it all. And you know exactly what to do to fix this. And it's like, Dear Abby, here you come. Blah! You know? And so it's like, you know, part of it's fatigue, part of it's years, part of it, you know, you used to be a little kinder when you heard the stories. Oh, really? Well, what happened next? And now it's like, good grief, lady, just stop it. You know, this is what you need to do to get that in order. You know, you can see almost impatience starting to come. And once you're on that bandwagon, these thought processes can see everything that's wrong with everything. Now, they don't distinguish the seriousness of a problem. If the topping's wrong on the pizza, these thought processes want you to say something. If one of the kids folds the towels incorrectly, it wants you to say something. If your husband doesn't do something right, the right way, it's going to want you to say something. And they are very hard to override because they get our bodies involved and we can feel it and we think that's just who we are. Here's the truth. These are just thoughts. And some of us are absolutely controlled by them. So here's a start. You sit down with your good husband, and you set a time when you've got maybe as much as an hour without interruption. Remember, we talked about power sessions, where you're really totally focused in the moment. This is a power session.
Okay.
I want you to take a tent card, you know, like a card that's folded over like a tent, and you write on one side, my thoughts. And stick them across the room on a chair and sit next to him on the couch. and say, sweetheart, I've been working with Grant Todd, my coach, and I've discovered that I've got some thought processes that when I listen to them, I have to be right. Now, he may start laughing before you get too far into this, and that's okay. A little humor won't hurt. And you look over and you point at those thought processes, and you say, sweetheart, what's it been like for you all these years when those thought processes are running my life? And I need
now
to be right.
Now, I have to tell you that I did this because I heard two weeks ago when you gave us that assignment.
Okay.
And I had a wonderful experience. I just sat there and listened. And I did everything you said.
For those who don't know about the assignment, let's make sure they understand. All you could say is, tell me more about that, or share with me what you're thinking. Biting your tongue. Keep going. Great.
Exactly. I just let him spill it all out. And what was so wonderful about that was that I had a load that was just lifted off me. In my mind, I just saw all this, these white lines going up into the universe, just leaving me. And it just felt so wonderful. And I was free. I was so free. Then I decided to have another one, and I got caught into that one. So,
did you do it with him?
I did it with him again. Yeah. And then toward the end, I lost it. It wasn't, you know, I caught myself, but I still blew it.
What caused you to want to do it a second time?
Because there were, you know what, that's a good question. Let's see. Maybe I needed to be right again.
Now laugh with me, would you? Because I gave you an example. Oh, how fun. Now you know. I said, he's going to say something, and your mind's not going to be able to stop stewing on it. And most of the time I use the example, the guy does it, you know, and he walks into his wife and puts his arms around her there at the kitchen sink and says, oh, sweetheart, thank you. That was such a helpful conversation. You know, just one thing. You mentioned last Thursday that I said this, and that's not really what I said. At least not that's what I meant. And I feel so bad that you had to suffer so long with that misconception. And all we're trying to do is do what?
Be right again.
Be right again, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, how fun. The very best thing you might be able to do is go back and acknowledge what happened.
With him.
With him.
We
had such a wonderful conversation that first time, and you mentioned a couple things to me, and those thoughts over there just start stewing on them. And I had to find a way to be right, so I set up another conversation, acting like I really wanted to know more, when I really just wanted to get right about the things I didn't think you understood properly. And let him, and have a good laugh with him.
Okay.
Say, this thing is really rooted in my mind. Oh, my goodness, sweetheart. And just have some laughter. Now, if you want a great pill to swallow, it's Scroll 7.
Okay.
Go to spend a lot of time with Scroll 7, because these thought processes do not have a funny bone. They don't have a funny bone. This isn't funny to them. This is life or death. All or nothing,
yeah.
Win or lose. Yeah,
right.
That's the best medicine is laughter. Now, have you done it with your children?
I haven't. I did it with my daughter-in-law, but I didn't sit down with her and say that. I just listened to her. And I looked for some way that I could serve, and I found it.
Oh.
So that was...
How beautiful.
Yeah, that was really beautiful.
Well, I have one last warning for you.
Okay.
You want to look at your assessment on the right-hand side in self-esteem and that measurement's integrus. It's the very first measurement.
Okay.
Confident and valiant. If any of those are struggling, you want to be very careful when you do this, because those systemic thoughts need to be right. And quite often the ones that get stung are your self-esteem, because when they start to talk, we take it personally. If you're going to do this exercise with your children or more people, you want to keep reminding yourself, this is not about me. This is about those thought processes over there that get in the way, because I want to root them out as much as they want them rooted out. Keep them separated from who you are, because you're not these thoughts. They've just been wanting to control things.
Okay. I will do that.
You're so courageous. Now, Martina, while you're on the phone, tell everybody just a little bit about your book.
Oh. I wrote a little book of poems after my parents were killed in a car accident a few years ago. And I decided to publish. And it's just, it's a healing book.
Now, if anybody needs that kind of healing, they've had an experience as painful like that, can they get a hold of you to buy the book?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, would you give them your phone number so they'd know who to call?
Yes, my phone number is 801-561-8203. It's also available at Barnes & Noble online and Amazon and Ex Libris.
You'll have to give them the title so they'll be able to find it.
The name of it is Life's Little Reminders.
Life's Little Reminders. Thank you.
Yes, and
so
it's,
Amazon,
it's like,
online.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's I just would like to mention that it's pretty lighthearted, and yet it creates a healing.
And it's not a little book. It's a lot of poems. It's really fun. So they get a tremendous value when they buy the book. So if you had a challenge like that and you want to hear it from someone who's been there, get on Amazon and pick up the book. Thank you, Martina.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, you have brought up one of the great points and one of the barriers to success, and that's the need to be right, the need to fix, to justify, to defend, all those things. Everybody on the phone, let's think about this week. If that's a challenge for you, spend some time with Scroll 7 and get some laughter back in your life. If you're feeling a little uncomfortable, you know, Martina, how courageous. Sebastian, see what you created tonight? You got Martina to come on the phone and share with us. Thank you for sharing such an important piece. And Fernando for guiding us through, for those who are working on projects, to make sure that we're staying focused on things that make sense and the millimeters of creation, so we don't get into things that are over our heads that we're not prepared for. We haven't become the person who could handle that yet. Stay within those things that will move you to those paid places and do those successfully. Create income doing that first, and then move to the next piece. You'll gain invaluable experience in this creative process. Last thing I want to mention tonight, when you go into goals and expectations, to planning and goal setting, or you listen to mental rehearsal, I want everyone to know, to bookend the beginning of this meeting, I absolutely believe in vivid visualization. It drives everything we do, but it's absolutely constructive. Remember when we heard those phrases, not going there today? When we use this enormous gift destructively to escape and avoid into fantasy or catastrophe, we are going to be filling our body with all kinds of chemicals that are so destructive and such a waste of time. Such a waste of time. Let us not go there today. Let us use them constructively. And let us find the passion that can drive our focused discipline effort and action, knowing, as Fernando so beautifully explained tonight, that when we're there, we get endowments of additional ability, and we get people put on our path who will serve us and who we can serve. That's the way it works. But only when we're prepared, when we're in passion-driven action, which comes from constructive mental creation, which is focused on blessing the lives of other people. Let's have a great time with this. Now, we're going to spend time next week on finding joy in the journey. This is such a critical piece. We're going to explore these principles. So if you have an opportunity, go ahead and read through that. I knew that this is so important what we shared tonight. We'll get into that piece, and then the following week we're going to get right into self-esteem and dig deep into self-esteem. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week intentionally creating the life you desire in partnership with a power that governs abundance. For me, that's God. And I would suggest that that power knows